cliffcentral.com.
Please be aware that this show contains crude and foul language. If you are sensitive to topics like science or religion, we cordially invite you to please fuck off now. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Gasper Radio Show. In the year of our Lord 2017, on Tuesday, the 20th of June, I was struck down by a germ. One single fucking germ. But I'm not well. And thus I decided, ek gaan nie weer iets repeat. Nee, ek gaan nou my span vra om my te help. Ek gaan my span inspan. So it's for the first time that I'm not there while it's live. And it is the Gasper Radio Show with the Gasper Radio team. Today with Gavin in achter die stuur van die skip vandag, Hannes. So ek hoop julle geniet dit. Ek gaan luister as ek wakker is en lewendig is. Ek kan nie hard lag nie, nou hoes ek. Ok julle, geniet die show en do your damnedest.
Da sei, goeiemôre, good morning, welcome to the Gasper Radio Show. Today it will be presented by Gavin Prince and myself, Hannes Brimmer. Goeiemôre, Gavin.
Goeiemôre, ek kan myself nie hoor nie. Hallo,
is dit beter?
Daar's ek nou. Goeiemôre, Hannes.
Ja, dis lekker om hier te wees, maar dit alles kom ten 'n prys. Is baie jammer om te hoor dat Cassie bietjie siek is.
Ja.
Hy's nou nie met ons vanoggend nie. Casper, ons dink aan jou en ons hoop jy sterk vinnig aan.
Ek stem 100% saam. En ek wil graag vir ons luisteraars, die twee wat gaan luister na Gavin en Hannes vanoggend, stuur asseblief vir Cassie boodskappe van Get Well Soon. Ons WhatsApp nommer is, ons WhatsApp werk, né?
Yes, nee, I do.
Ons WhatsApp nommer is 079-748-2090. Ek gaan weer stadig sê, 079-748-2090.
Ach, wil jy nie sommer in Engels ook vir ons doen nie, Gavin?
Ah, you know what? So, I want to invite our listeners to please send Cassie some messages because I believe that the more we mobilize society en ons luisteraars, die gouer gaan Casper gesond
word.
So the number is 079-748-2090.
Ah, daar sê.
Hoe gaan dit met jou?
Dit gaan goed met my. Dit is nou interessant met die dat Casper ook so 'n bietjie siek is. Dis daai tyd van die jaar, jy weet, waar alle kwale ewe skielik opduik. So ek het maar 'n kakkerige jeugdag naweek gehad, letterlik, want ek het gastroenteritis gehad.
Sjoe.
Ouch. Dis 'n fancy woord vir maaggriep.
Oh my
basically, ek het spoedpes gehad. Poefsiekte.
Oh, goodness,
ja, dit het soos die nail uit my uitgeloop in vloed.
Het jy medikasie gekry om hierdie?
Ek het medikasie gekry. Ek het eers gedink, want ek was die naweek in Noordwes gewees en ek weet hulle het waterprobleme. So toe die donderdag toe ek terugkom, ek het hierso toe ons die pre-recording gedoen het, het ek maar nervously hierso gesit en maar probeer om nie te poep nie. Maar gedink het sal nou weggaan en toe het dit nie weggegaan nie. En toe gaan ek na 'n dokter toe en toe gee hy net vir my pille wat my opstop. En die pyn bietjie weg wat maar toe dit ook nie regtig gehelp nie. Dit was soos om 'n te klein prop in die bad te druk, verstaan?
Oh, ja,
daar was nog steeds lekkasies.
Okay, ek het nou hierdie vision, ek het hierdie vision in my kop. And you know why I'm laughing? It's because I experienced exactly the same thing. I also had like a tummy problem. And it's not something that you would like share. Like I share like a headache, you know, or my back operation. My my maag.
Want mense, as jy vir mense, if you tell people you've got a runny tummy, they look at you with a little bit of judgment. It's like, wat het jy geëet?
Asof het jou skuld is.
Asof het jou skuld is, ja. En het is so half bietjie gruis. Jy weet, so mense, ek denk, mense probeer altijd so, and please don't tell me about it. Maar, dit is nog steeds een valid ziekte, dis nie? Dis, want het voel bietjie foil, maar dit is nie.
En soos jy gesê het, met die badprop, toe ek by die apteker kom, en ek sê vir my, hier is my probleem, en ek het verskrikkelike pijn, en I mean heavy pain, and he made a suggestion, that I almost died right there with what with the butt prop. Like, oh my God.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, oh my God.
Maar dan gaat het ons nou net opstoot of iets.
This is weird. This is weird. En dan wat hy vir my sê, without giving too much detail, maar hy sê, ach, because I looked at him confused. I said, what? Where must this go? This tablet? And then he's like, I'm sure you've got Vaseline at home, Mr. Prince. Oh my God!
Hey, fun. I seker kas we luister nou gaan so, wat se kak praat hulle nou by show? Maar dit is soveel so dat ek maandag toe nou maar in die Raas hospitaal toe is. Wel, ek het na die ER toe gegaan met die gedachte dat hulle net vir my antibiotica gaan gee. Toe sê hulle, nee, jy gaan met oorslaap hier so in die hospitaal. Sure. Wat die eerste keer in my lewe was wat ek in die hospitaal geslaap het. So that was actually like a little holiday. But is the other thing is as means now I could know this is what I discovered is if you've got a bit of a tummy bug and someone asks you what's wrong, you look a little weak and dilapidated, all that you're now saying, you're moderne era gaan niemand jou snaaks aankyk as jy sê, no, I was just having a cleanse. I could need to begin a cleanse. Just in ek recover nog.
Yeah.
Maar tu sit nou want jy het nou ook onlangs hospitaal dramas gehad met jou rug en alles. And they're funny places, aren't they, Gavin?
It is this weird en vooral in die lig van die feit dat so ek lê en die oom langs my 91 jaar oud 91. en hy begin net so daai want hulle sit ons daai die naald in jou in en dan sit ons na die medikasie ek het parasitemol gehad en so hy ruk dit uit en dan sal bloed everywhere and it's net ek en hy in die kamer. So people like people get temperamental in hospital.
Maar dis die goue reël. That's a golden rule is that if you are in a hospital ward, make sure that the other person that's in there with you is more difficult and sicker than you are. Then you get the nice treatment because at least you're not so much trouble as the other guy who's virtually
explains why the nurses were so nice to me. That explains it. In work the other oom I find like patients to be very sort of daar's 'n kameraadskap van by hospitaal kos.
I mean, we beat this together, you
know. Ek weet nie hoe jou ondervinding was met die kos hier. Het jy lank genoeg gebly vir kos?
Wel, ek kon nie regtig baie inhou nie, maar ek het lank genoeg gebly vir kos. Dit was vir my eintlik nie so erg nie. Mainly just because I didn't have to make it.
Waar het jy gehad? Hoender?
Nee, ek het 'n beef casserole gehad.
Sjoe. En dit was lekker.
Dit was 'n bietjie sout. but it was edible, at least. Yeah.
Ek het die oom langs my, het nou 'n ander oom.
Ja.
Ek was by verskeie sale. Ja. En toe het hy, ek het op die foon gehoor, hoe hy kla oor die hospitaal kos to his wife. And he was just like complaining and complaining.
No, dis kakker is jou kos.
And then, my sister says, this is shitty food, love. And then when he put the phone down, I burst out laughing. And he looked at me, why are you laughing? And I said, because I feel exactly the same. The food is horrible.
Yeah.
And then he called his wife back and he said, lovey, bring extra, please. And then I had lovely. I'm a meat lover. I love my meat.
Yeah. Oh, no pun intended. Right?
But I loved. His wife made biryani, but with beans, like red beans in it.
Nice.
It was absolutely amazing.
Oh, yeah, that clink fantastic. Yeah. And see, and that's the thing, is good food that you get from relatives, that's what makes your recovery so much quicker as well. Because my daughter, and it was so cute, because they came to visit, but she's too small to come into the ward, actually. Yes. And I didn't really realize, I was a little bit dazed and confused, and I was pain medical, so I didn't realize that she's not allowed to come in. So I shuffled down. And that's another thing about hospitals, it's a great equalizer, because you can be rich or poor, everybody scuffle in hulle pyjamas met hulle drip langs hulle.
Yes,
everybody's the same in a hospital.
Yes.
And then they came to visit, but she insisted on bringing one of her teddy bears for me to keep me company. It was Ronnie the Renoster. Yeah. So I had it by my bedside table, and that made me feel so much better. You know?
Wow.
Yeah,
so that helps. Mm.
So in light of that, I hope you don't mind, but I thought I'm going to play a song especially for Casper in his illness, and hopefully the messages will start coming through shortly now.
To tell
Casper we hope he feels better soon, and that that daai hoesie dat het jy weet net by 'n borskuggie bly en dat dit nie erger word nie. So jy weet dit is illness is a battle. Verstaan, dis 'n fight. Jy weet soos Rocky, hoop ons dat jy gou beter voel. Cassie, hier is vir jou ietsie om jou aan te sterk.
Show.
Het is een beetje drama daar, so met die gong, gong. Okay, dat was eigenlijk een fuck-up geweest. We got it right in the end.
That is fine.
Ja, so hier is ons nou. Gavin, vertel my bietjie van jou week. What happened this week? Wat het jy gesien?
This week, my week, dat so baie goed is gebeur. My week consisted mostly of fighting.
Fighting, work-related fights, I'm guessing. Huh?
Work-related fights. And when people abuse like this little nice face think that they can like walk all over me.
Yeah.
But they keep forgetting that I come from a area in Cape Town called Athlone. Which is where we are taught like survival.
Yes.
And we are taught to fight for your rights and for yourself and for your existence.
Yes. Good stuff.
And that is what I've been doing this week. And also like my personal I always believe that my life does not revolve around one person. Because I don't need anybody to move forward, right?
Yes.
So, and I've now applied that in my business as well.
No, but that's clever. That's jy moet business strategy begin teach of iets. Want I can follow that advice, absolutely. But you're very busy at the moment. And I tell you, this relates to some of our Casper radio show regulars and our other members of the team, of course. Vertel ons 'n bietjie van Betty's show. There's now Bernard Buys, one of our, the other members of the team, Betty Bangles, as she is also known. You're involved, you're doing the PR for the show, and it's coming on VIA. It's starting on 7 July. I'm sure he's very excited about it. How do you feel at this point in time? Was dit funny fights wat jy gehad het? Het jy en Betty screaming matches op die phone gehad hierdie week?
Oh no. Even though we can be bitchy, like in studio,
yeah.
There's like, with Betty and me, there's like an overwhelming sense of mutual respect.
Yeah.
We've actually become closer now that I'm like doing PR for the show.
Yeah.
The show's doing amazing. I can believe in something and I can believe in a brand. And my job is to pitch like a certain brand that's presented in front of me. But I love the reaction of the media when we sell Betty Bangles and the Dossers.
Yes, yeah,
and
absolutely.
it's been an insane ride.
Well, I've been seeing certainly that every single newspaper, every single Sunday newspaper ran something this past weekend. It was in the Times, it was in Engelse Courant, and I think it's not because it's just a show that's going to be on VIA, an Afrikaans channel about drag queens. I think it's the first time that we have a show on South African television that kind of takes that as a subject matter, and it's tongue-in-cheek and it's going to be fun, and it's it obviously draws inspiration from other shows that we've seen internationally, like RuPaul's Drag Race and that kind of thing, but it's its own thing, and it's perhaps subject matter that people might be a little scared of initially, which is great that the media is jumping on board and kind of helping to break down not only people's preconceived notions but getting them to tune in to a South African first.
Yeah, and also what was, and Betty was very clear about this at the beginning. Bernard, he said at the beginning that he wants to tarnish that sort of perception about drag queens being like freaks, en ons wil net in rokke aantrek en ons wil vrou wees, and it's not about being a woman, it's about being an artist
and an entertainer,
exactly,
yes.
And getting on stage and doing your thing. There was a newspaper that had like, they wrote an amazing article, but they, instead of saying the 7th of July, they said the 17th of July the show comes out.
So, I saw that, ek weet wat se koerant jy vertel,
yeah. So we were slightly like, because that is, I mean, mess up everything, but don't mess up like the first date, because I mean, on the 17th, it's not a dag wanneer hy gaan op die lug wees nie. So we were like quite, like, I was just like, and then, because Betty was sending frantic messages at like 8 a.m., on a Sunday morning. And when you get a WhatsApp from Betty at 8 a.m., that means you've heard drama.
Yeah.
So, but they realized their mistakes. I mean, everybody makes mistakes. So they realized their mistake and they corrected it online. So all their online posts and social media and things like that. But, you know, it's still in the printed newspaper. So while we are grateful, I mean, she looked amazing. We had like almost like a, like, I wouldn't say half a page, but it was like a big space in the newspaper.
Yes.
And she was in she was in the Saturday newspapers as well, one in Cape Town,
really?
One in Johannesburg, yes. And there are lots of things. And so what's happening now, our next step with Betty, Betty's having a private preview.
A private preview?
Yes, a private viewing.
Are we all going to be invited?
You are all going to be invited. And so what we have decided is we're gonna invite, like, obviously Betty's friends, but some media that said to us, because remember now we are in PR, so I call you.
It's all about making someone look good as well, you know.
But so when someone says maybe, then you're not totally convinced. So we want those maybes
to
come and view like one or two of the episodes.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, Anas, I said this last to Casper as well. I saw the first episode. It is like the producers and the editors, they did like phenomenal
sterling job, huh?
It's proper. It is like of international standard. Like I absolutely, I'm amazed.
Fantastic. And here comes the thing, the power of digital media and your job as PR person, has it changed dramatically over the last 5 years? If you're advertising a television show like this, for example, and the people involved, I mean, you know that saying, there's no such thing as bad press, but it seems that these days, there is potentially, I mean, you want to make someone look as good as possible because there's so many platforms that they are being kind of, you know, focused on and so many ways that you advertise something. Has it become more daunting over the last 5 years to be in PR, or is it easier because we've got greater access to media?
You see, I would say it's challenging. It's challenging because we are in a digital, like we're in a digital era.
Yeah.
So to sell, like I don't consider social media is important.
Yes.
But it's not what your clients pay for in terms of their publicity. And mense is baie old school.
Yeah.
Jy wil nog jou foto en jou storie ken, jou maatskappy se naam in die koerant sien.
Yes, jy
weet of jou naam, jy weet.
Yeah.
En hoe goed jy doen. They want to see it like in print. They want to see it on TV.
And you want that, and then someone can tweet something stupid on the side, and it's okay, because that then creates the controversy. Because what something I saw in the course of this past week, which actually surprised me, because there wasn't that big a hoo-ha. It's bigger hoo-ha's if he's talking cock, but Steve Hofmeyr's sixth, sy sesde kind is gebore hierdie week.
Waarvan ons weet.
Maar ek bedoel, ek weet nie meer nie. Is hy 'n Maroon
of is hy?
Ja, ek wonder net die hele tyd, is Steve 'n Maroon of is hy 'n Mormoon? Want dis net meer kinders en maar die interessante ding, not that I want to spend too much time talking about him, maar dis asof dit stiller. Someone sharing good news is minder aandagwekkend as wat hy nou sê, een of ander grootse statement gemaak het by een of ander saamtrek in Orania. So it's interesting what is newsworthy, you know, and in olden days, oh, kyk sy pragtige baba would have made more news than any random statement. You
exactly,
know?
So it's and it's almost like it's very interesting that you are saying that, and that is the consumer, hey, and something that I must mention this is years ago, 1997, Princess Diana, like icon of the world, she was in a car crash in Paris, right?
Yes,
and ek was 'n joernalis by die Burger in die Kaap en had die tannie ingebel en gesê, and I mean, we had like thousands of phone calls, but there is that one phone call that's just stuck with me.
Yeah.
I mean, now we are in 2017. And this lady said to me, you killed Diana.
Huh?
I'm not buying you anymore. And she put the phone down in my ear. I was just like, oh.
You killed Diana. Because the media kind of killed her.
Mm. I was
in the UK with the when Princess Diana died. And it was incredible to it. Yeah. It was my year after matric. And I was in the UK. And then Princess Diana died, a side note to the story is that may or may not have been the very first time in my life that I smoked dacha. So I woke up the
and
next
morning. And it wasn't
morning.
In Amsterdam.
No, it wasn't. And I was absolutely convinced it was my fault that Diana died.
Why?
Omdat ek duivelse dinge gedoen het. Daar in die verte. So I was convinced. But that was the biggest media circus ever prior to social media even
existing.
But
what did you see like on the streets? Like why? What did you experience?
Oh no, it was that whole thing where the local kind of little town's plane had flowers and everything. It was quite crazy.
My ek het gelees nou onlangs dat daar's die haar broer.
Ja.
Wat is sy naam? Charles yes. Spencer het is heavy gekritiseer omdat hy nie haar gedenkteken omdat hy net 'n mooi skoon hou nie.
Regtig?
Like her former chef like went to town like from BBC Sky News and everything and he spoke and he said like Princess Diana like look at her grave like this is her legacy seriously do something about it.
My nou jy's in lig daarvan I'm going to play a song now. Weer eens dit is so klein bietjie want hy is een van my gunsteling songs op aarde. Maar twee ook, omdat ons conversation kind of went the slightly morbid route with the death of Diana.
Kasper wat siek is. Hospitaal.
Ja, laat ons nou nie. En ek wou jou gevra het, ons gaan later daarby uitkom, ons gaan 'n spookstory vertel ook.
Yay.
So I had this line up for this, but it still seems kind of fitting. There's a tong in die kies song. It's kind of also, you know, vir die goeie saam met die slegte, maar hierso is die magtige Willem Swart met en ook omdat ons oor Bernard gepraat het en die sang gaan oor 'n Letty. hierso is oorlede Letty.
Ek was so vrees gekom in nus met the passion om te blus in 'n blues bar. Sy was so sunny side special soos 'n vulpen met 'n rifle on keerbaan. Sit gesê, sy sit kans vir a dans. Gee my pussie snedje en ek boer die man. Dit was laat in die hand en alle tekens was daar. Ons het mekaar verstaan, ek en sy. Oor little Letty, oor little Letty, oor little Letty, was jy nou? Oor little Letty, my valentijn kom van. 7 maanden later vat ek wat om vir haar te gaan aflaai. Toe stop ek vir a kyken, maar die café was die teiken van die drive-by. Letty het gevallen, bly len. Rico Che, hoekom sê, wie so kon sê? Dit was een zaterdag aan, te wiekie later die man, so ons droom, vir al dit zon. O little Letty, o little Letty, o little Letty, wat sê dan? O little Letty, my valentine kom van. Ek slaap s nachts met herinneringe en whisky. Ek bedel en drentel en blij aan een karavan. Ons diepste omhelzing smok bij me in slow motion, so wat. Letty, Letty, ek dans met my hende vanavond. Hand aan hand, hand aan hand. O little Letty, o little Letty, o little Letty, wat sê dan? O little Letty, my valentijn kom gaan. O little Letty, o little Letty, o little Letty, wat sê dan? O little Letty, my valentijn kom gaan.
And we are back on the Kasper Radio Show. And it's time for us, just because I couldn't find this thing, to welcome our very special guest this morning. One of my favorite people in the world. And I specifically chose the Superman theme to play there because he's a super guy, he's a super comedian. But he also has a deep love for all things geek and all things superhero inspired. So, Gavin, you've just met him, ladies and gentlemen, in Radio Land. Kassie, ek hoop hy dra jou goedkeuring weg. Mr. Vittorio Leonardi.
Hey, thank you, son. It is a good feeling to be here defending the studio.
Oh, great.
Dude, thanks for having me on. This is good fun.
No, we're going to have a lot of fun. Vic, it's lovely to have you here. You're one of my favorite people and one of my favorite comedians. Plus, we share a field of interest thanks to the fact that you're also a fan of superheroes and aliens.
Indeed.
And Gavin, tell me, how are you? How do you feel about role play?
Role play?
Yeah. What word does it elicit in your thoughts?
Proper bedroom.
Well, yeah, nee. Dis as mamma, as mamma jou vra om soos 'n non aan te trek.
Whoa.
To book for die pers oor biskop.
I'm like sadly or not sadly, whichever way you take this, but I'm married to one of the most conservative men on the planet.
Oh, is it?
Okay.
So role play, he would just laugh at me and continue with like whatever else is doing. I'm game for like a lot of things.
Yeah. Okay. So
how is it being married to Michael Pence? I mean, it's good that you have those connections, but I wouldn't go using them just willy-nilly. You know?
Yeah. Now, the reason I asked is this a different type of role play. Vic is also a game master of sorts in role play gaming.
So onthou jy in die 90s, there was like Dungeons and Dragons, die duivel goed.
Yeah.
Well, I thought that's the chapter I want to explore. Right, let's find out what this is about.
That shows you how easy our lives have gotten. Because these days, if you look at social media and stuff, the shortest route to hell is piano lessons and playing chess. You weet, en nou gaan Greta Wiet vir jou sê, oh nee, die kind is a moof. Hy gaan hel toe. Maar in the 80s and 90s, it was a more tactical affair. You know, if you wanted to go to hell, you had to like have some skills.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
You had to buy dice, you had to buy Dungeons and Dragons core manuals, and those things weren't cheap. And you had to listen to Def Leppard or at least wear one of their t-shirts. You remember the one where it looked like a skull?
Yeah.
And they thought they were being really clever, and that's the only reason people bought that shirt.
Because it looked rough,
They couldn't possibly have been that many Def Leppard fans.
Metal!
Yeah, but it was Def Leppard as well. I think they're listed as classic rock.
But that's the only music that's from the harder genres that was allowed in South Africa.
Yes, you know? Yeah. Def Leppard.
Yeah, so this fantasy role play gaming, nie net fantasy role play, nie. The sentence doesn't end there.
Essentially, it's very easy to do though. You just ditch your character sheet and the dice, dress up like someone, and off you go.
And do what? What happens?
Well, look, with standard role playing, you've got a character sheet that represents all the things that your character can do, is like statistics and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got dice. Your game master, let's say it's where Hannes is sitting, he basically tells a story that your characters are in, and your
and
choices.
It's game master, any G-A-Y name.
No. Sometimes it depends on who's in charge.
And you get to choose your own name.
Yeah, you choose your own name, your character class. So you decide to be, I'm going to be a halfling cleric, and who is his alignment? It would be chaotic good, which means it's like Mad Max is chaotic good,
yeah,
where Superman is lawful good, you know, irritatingly good.
The
Emperor in Star Wars and I think the Pope are lawful evil.
Okay,
sure.
Yeah, that's it's according to a list that I found on the net. So this is how you explain it to people who don't know it. Mm-hmm. So like the what would be chaotic evil? I don't know, Mephisto.
Yeah,
the devil would be chaotic evil. So it's just, there's so much stuff in it.
And then what happens?
You create a scenario, the game master creates a scenario, and says the simple one would be, right, you are a group of people, you meet in a tavern, you've been tasked by the local lord to go into this castle and find a mystical crown. What he doesn't tell you is the 480 skeleton warriors between you and the gold.
Oh,
and then as a player, you kind of say, "Okay, now I'm challenging the mystical skull warriors," and then you roll the dice, and then you lose 2 life points, or you know,
depending on how it goes, because you challenge them with your dice roll, they challenge the GM rolls as the monster, whatever it is, they challenge back and forth, and whoever wins, and then you get really irritating bits like. every now and again, the probably one of the more famous Dungeons and Dragons stories was a group of guys going through a forest. They walk into a clearing, and the game master said, right, you walk into a clearing, and one of the guys, very enthusiastic ranger, I think he was, so basically Legolas from Lord of the Rings would be a ranger, says, well, what's in the clearing? Says, a gazebo. And he goes, I wasted with my crossbow! And the whole group, including the GM, is going, you what? So I fire at it with my crossbow. I waste it with my crossbow. Okay. Says, did it take damage? I guess. So what does it look like? Well, there's now an arrow sticking out of the gazebo. Can I attack again? Yes. Says, I fire again. And this keeps going on about 3 or 4 more rounds. Mm. Eventually, he uses fire arrows and the thing collapses, burns down, and says, you destroy the gazebo. Yes, I destroy the gazebo.
The gazebo.
And then there was this
evil
silence. And he goes, sorry, what's a gazebo? And for the next 10 minutes, nobody could play. They were just finished.
Yeah.
It's simple things like that. I mean, it's fun. And you learn a lot about
so
the people
around you.
So you
do this?
Yeah, I mean, I do horror role-playing, which is Call of Cthulhu.
Yeah, that's the other thing is I wanted to ask you a bit more about, because since the 90s, it's progressed. Mm. And I know a lot of the Dungeons & Dragons kind of controversy was also kind of earliest forms of fake news, you know. Yeah. It was a mother or and kind of school principals, a kid committed suicide, he happened to play Dungeons and Dragons, and then they made the kind of illusion, and then it's kind of now, well, he was bullied and he was this and he was that. It was a greater, you know, kind of series of events that led to it. Dungeons and Dragons, in fact, I once read that psychologists and psychoanalysts have indicated that kids who play Dungeons and Dragons are actually less suicidal.
Because they play out these fantasies, and they've got a core group of friends. This is what they do, and they enjoy themselves. I mean, I read an article yesterday that it was declassified files that apparently the FBI, when they were investigating the Unabomber, one of the groups they investigated was this random Dungeons and Dragons role-playing group. And they got quite mean with their comments of these people, slovenly dressed, slackers, and I'm going, yes, and this is what we do. Later on, we'll found Microsoft, but for now. And it's always been that thing. I mean, as far as I know, I've never had it confirmed, but apparently, when the CIA looks for people to employ, one of the things they look for is were you ever involved in role playing? Because it means you can carry off the idea of being somebody else.
Well, if you're into the acting, other type of role playing, you definitely can go into politics.
Oh, yes, definitely. Mm. Especially if the Russians have a DVD on you that they refuse to release. Oh. I reckon that would download like you could not believe. Yeah. it would crash the White House website.
Let's say if they
had it, which they probably would. He would stream the hell out of that.
So, Gavin, what would your Dungeons & Dragons name be? I think I'm going for Harry Bladder, Lord of the Moldy Pants.
Lord of the Moldy Pants.
Yes.
I
Dis jou kans om 'n prinses te wees, Gavin.
But you know, no, talking about princess, I would need something like glamorous. Something glamorous, not too bitchy, but like.
So it would be, let's see, Athena of the Silver Tongues.
Ah,
I like that.
Athena of the Silver Tongues. And he is in PR as well. Yeah, so Athena of the Silver Tongues and Harry Bladder. What's your go-to character name?
Just Blorg. Blorg the Hammer. Blorg. And he's this really aggressive, uppity halfling that thinks he's a lot bigger than he is. You know when a Jack Russell always has a Rottweiler with him as backup? I'm the Jack Russell. That character, I'd like to play that.
Yeah.
It's been ages since I played D&D, though. It's good fun.
And what are some of the other games and kind of environments?
All the different things. I mean, just with D&D, it started that you could only level up your character to level 20. That was first edition. I think I can't remember which one they're on now. I think 6th edition now. And it just keeps ramping up. And the idea is that as your character improves, the monsters you fight get harder. It starts off where you fight a goblin, and one goblin can wipe out an entire party of 6 people because you're all level 1. You don't know what you're doing. And then from there, you just build up skills. And it's that thing of... I think to a degree, it does teach kids the idea that they have to earn what they get. It's the thing of you have to earn experience points in order to level up, in order to buy better weapons. If you have certain weapons, I mean, they've incorporated this into video games now. Your character needs to be level 20 in order to wield this weapon because it's an unwieldy weapon if you don't know what you're doing.
But can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Sorry, Anas. So say, for instance, you are I'm a 40-year-old professional, right? Mm-hmm. So, and I run a business.
Yeah.
So, how do most people that's into this, like into this gaming thing, like what? How do they qualify them being like in this? So, I know I'm not trying.
No, it's a very simple thing. It's if you want to play. You literally just go, I think it's rpg.co.za. Go on there. That's one of the big role-playing sites in South Africa. Or just search role-playing game, RPG.
Oh, okay.
.co.za. As far as I know, that's the address. I might be under advisement. Or just go onto Facebook. And it's that thing of the usual search is looking for group. You are looking for a role-playing group. And you find people that are like-minded. I mean, if you're interested in this sort of stuff, just walk into a comic book store. There's the Nexus in Randburg, which is contains Outer Limits and Anime Works. There's hordes of geeks there.
Yeah.
And they will point you in the right direction. Says, I want to learn how to play this system. Where do I go? And there will be people that point you in the right direction.
I'm a comic book reader, more particularly than I into kind of gaming stuff. And my local comic shop, Battle Wizards in Centurion.
No,
but you go there on a Saturday morning. Then they have these gaming tournaments. I mean, so it's a social activity.
Magic the Gathering.
Yes, see, but it's a bit scary. I mean, in a group, in an entire room full of, you know, kind of men our age, I suppose.
Alpha level geeks.
Yeah, and you can kind of smell in the air that only one person in that room has had sex.
Yes. You smell the desperation. If I throw this card, it'll happen.
Although the geek community kind of you get geek couples, don't couples? Do you call them couples? Like if you get
couples, that would be a great name.
You know, and
that's cool. We're a couple.
Gamers who play together. Play together.
Yeah,
you know.
The gamers who role play together. Stay together.
It's a huge industry.
Board games can break up relationships.
Oh, is it?
I've seen them come down.
30 seconds can break up relationships.
Yes. Oh, there's one called Betrayal at the House on the Hill, where it's essentially, it's a role playing game, but set up as a board game.
Yeah.
So you have someone who's the game master that runs everything, and their job is basically to play a nice game of Nye or Mikey. Their job is to stop you. But we were playing in our house. My lady was, and so she was playing with this couple that we knew, and the dude, they'd all forgotten one particular rule, and it was a simple thing, and he ended up killing his lady's character, and she punched him.
Oh my god.
Slugged him one. And I mean, I've seen it happen with Monopoly in 30 seconds. So
very interesting that you should mention that. My husband and I went on a holiday but to Mozambique, to one of the islands, and we went with one of our friends because she went through a breakup, but I thought we probably got the brunt of like the breakup and all the frustration and issues. But we played I think it's 30 seconds, is that general knowledge sort of thing, right?
Where
you must describe or whatever. And she she got so angry. She got red. She's white, so she got red in the face. We left the room and we said, okay, you don't drink, but you need a whiskey. And then we left and went to our room and we said, never, ever again are we playing a game with her. Because, and I mean, through all of our friends, I mean, we play games, but through, like, met al van die vrienden, it was, jy weet, ons merk vir jou af, en jy kan nie speel nie.
Yeah.
And it's very, I believe in, I'm competitive, but it's a game at the end of the day, isn't it?
But it depends, though. I've got a few friends that if they are winning, then the game goes quickly. If they see that they're losing, they know the games so well that they can drag
that
crap out. Like, it's supposed to be, let's say, 30 minutes to an hour, let's say, on a session.
Mm.
4 hours later, there you are still. It's like, no, you're sucking the joy out of
And
us.
You can't just throw in the towel and say, okay, I'm out. You guys are...
Oh, no, you can.
Oh.
But it's seen as quitting. If there's anything in the competitive human spirit, it's definitely that thing of, I win.
I did not speak to my husband, now that I remember. I did not speak to Alvino for probably like 30 minutes 2 weeks ago.
Wow.
So in the Cape Coloured community, there's this big thing with dominoes.
Oh, yes.
And so my in-laws were visiting, and then Alvino and auntie, they were cheating.
Oh,
and I just went like this, and I banged on the table, and I said, don't ever do that again. And I refused, and I just played, and I refused. We won, but I refused to speak to him for like 30 minutes.
If you
and
hadn't
I know,
won, oh, wow.
The games we play together.
Yes.
But you know what? Like, and you were like a daughter. You've got a young daughter as well, right?
So I was about to say, yes.
Yeah. I've got a daughter. There is this thing that comes up on my timeline on Facebook, and it's annoying, but I watched once and I just quickly scroll up because I don't want to see it. And it's of a little girl that that in class she puts up her hand, and then because the teacher asked the question in the class is, what do you want to be when you grow up? And she says, oh, I want to be a smartphone. And then she compares like the career of a smartphone. My dad, he has a smartphone. He plays games with a smartphone. He goes to bed with a smartphone. The first thing he does when he wakes up in the morning is he looks at the smartphone. And that is her, like, just wanting attention. I felt so bad.
That's a very, very well-made piece of work.
Yeah,
that's very
games
clever.
Because Vantajan, okay, the social media and games, but yeah. but they actually show the dad like playing games.
That's the thing. I mean, I have a computer, so I refuse to put games on my phone because A, it sucks battery, and B, that's my communication device.
Mm. Yeah.
It wasn't in Star Trek did they have video games on the communicators. But, if it wasn't there, then
there's a lot of statistics. Our social interaction has changed just since we had these phones. And I mean, how long is it? It's not 20 years, you know. And
I'm sorry.
That's what I like, and I think that's why I'm also fascinated by the whole role play gaming kind of community. And I know it's a very strong and kind of you know, loyal community. But it ends up being you have a social activity that also encourages you actually having contact with people and looking them in the eye rather than doing it over you know, something that's invisible and intangible, you know what I mean?
No, but it's not just with the role playing. I mean, you have the one step beyond that, which is the live action role playing. That's where you physically dress as the characters and play out the character that you've created.
Is that big in South Africa?
It's becoming so. I mean, there's two very big ones that I know of. One's called Mead.
And is that what you pack your Riddish pocky on? Have you not done it?
Do you go to the
events just for a laugh?
Well, no, I really enjoy watching the guys play sometimes, but I mean, like, sometimes with Mead and Tiana, what they end up doing is they'll rent some place out in, I remember the one I remember is, it was out in Brits somewhere. There was some other camp out play. So, like, 300 people or something, they'll go through and you play your character for the duration of the weekend. There are only designated spots at the camp where you are not in character.
So are there other props as well, besides the clothes that you put on?
You wear armor. There's guys that'll make armor for you. And it's not necessarily, it's like chainmail and stuff. A lot of this is, it's everything from cardboard to 3D printed stuff, which is now becoming very popular as the machines become more ubiquitous. There's the foam rubber that gets done. I mean, some of the weapons are pretty freaking impressive from a distance. I mean, up close you can see this isn't real, but from a distance, like, these guys are wearing full armor. As a friend of mine, Rushka, she plays an orc. She has these teeth appliances that she puts in, so she has those two tusk teeth. And she paints herself
like
green.
Warcraft kind of.
Yeah, it's the traditional image of the Warcraft orc.
Wow.
And that's what they do. I mean, there's people that are in charge of plot to make sure that the overarching storyline carries through and that they incorporate what happens there. Mm. And they'll go away for a weekend, and that's the thing you do. And it's great.
It ties in with a huge industry, and it's a business that's creating celebrities left, right, and center. I mean, one of the reasons I have you here is because this past weekend I was going to be at Icon, which is an annual comics and gaming book convention that happens at Gallagher Estate. It was the 25th Icon
this
year.
The 25th anniversary. Sure,
I figured I made sums in my head because I've been collecting comic books since a certain age, and I remember that it was the first kind of, you know, because the comic book industry in South Africa, because for a long time it was difficult to get certain books because of import restrictions. So you were kind of dependent on getting it at the corner cafe. You have your 20-cent books that's been read by 30,000 people already, and then markets opened, and you had people distributing comics locally, and then they had their first convention. And I was actually, at the age of 12 or 13, I was at the very, very first Icon. My dad took me to, because that's when my comic book collection kind of started in all honesty. And it was weird. And then I missed it with my, we were talking at great length about my cock earlier. I missed it this past weekend. So I was fascinated to get you on the show when Casper said he couldn't make it, to not only get a recap of Icon, but also to talk about how big this geek industry, as we call it, has grown.
It's and become huge.
As you say, the live action role playing, that ties in with the whole cosplay thing.
Oh,
that
yes.
was a fucking carte blanche on a dag geweest.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this thing, people that dress up like their favorite anime or popular culture characters, and it's huge. There are huge celebrities created out of cosplay. And tell us a bit about...
There was one at the con, they brought one of them out as she's... there's an international cosplay star. Her name is Linda Lee. Her full title is Linda Vampy Bit Me Lee.
Lee.
And her online name is Vampy Bit Me.
Gavin, nie haar ma se lelikste kind nie, hoor. Ek het foto's gesien.
And she's lovely. I mean, she's barely 5 foot tall and she cosplays. That's what she does.
Does
she,
for a living,
yeah? That's what she's done. I mean, she works with certain production houses, with certain gaming companies. And I mean, each day she came as a different character. The first day she was there, she was cosplaying as Sniper Wolf from Metal Gear Solid. Then the next day she was Nightwing.
Yeah, I saw the Nightwing, yeah.
The following day, I didn't recognize the character. It looked like a fox.
a red fox.
Yeah, it was literally as a red fox. I mean, it's ironic that the first day she showed up as a gray fox character.
I mean, I'm following her on Twitter now because of Icon. But purely for research. There's no other reason why.
I look at the pictures. You can research all you want. And, I mean, it was fantastic watching the cosplayers because one of the people that showed up, they dressed up as... I'm trying to think of it. It's the Archangel from Diablo. Mm. So the way the character works, the way the character looks, has got this massive ethereal effect where these streams of light hang off it. And what this person had done, it created like a wind box, like an aircon box in the back so that blew through these things that she had designed that literally created this effect. So she's wearing this full suit, this massive sword. And I'm just sitting there going... That's an enormous amount of work you've put into.
Because people make their own costumes, but you can buy stuff as well. Do I understand it correctly?
Yeah, you can. It's I mean, when you cosplay in a competition, in a competitive sense, the more you made your suit, the higher it counts in your favor. So, I mean, there's one dude. His name is Nuri.
Nuri. Nuri. It sounds like a guy that went to school with me.
Yeah, probably. I mean,
I was Yuri.
This is like an Indian Nuri.
He is, actually. And he's soft-spoken when he's nervous, but otherwise he comes out and he's got this booming voice. And he dresses up as this thing. With cardboard, he made this shield that it looks amazing.
Wow.
The guy's thing is working with cardboard. And he gave a demonstration during one of the panels at Icon of how to make the Valerian armor helmet from the upcoming Valerian movie. And... I mean, just watching these people work and some of the stuff they do, the 3D printed stuff is amazing to see. But to see some of what the things these people accomplish with either cardboard or foam rubber or there's stuff called Warbler, which is a type of heat reactive plastic. It's specifically made for cosplaying. And I mean, I don't know, I think like a meter sheet of it or something. I don't know the exact dimensions, but I mean, a roll of it will cost you $1,000.
Wow.
Because it's the stuff for
it's an expensive hobby.
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, all hobbies and all geek stuff is stupidly expensive. Magic the Gathering and Warhammer players, tabletop gamers, guys with the little figurines. When you get into that, you need disposable income. Mm. Which, in my theory, the reason why a lot of geeks have never had girlfriends is because you have a choice. You can spend your money on the girlfriend or on the new figurines. And, I can't paint my girlfriend, but I can paint these figurines.
Yes.
So it's...
my girlfriend. You can if you ask nicely.
Yes, I mean, just once. And not with acrylic. That makes me peel it off. But I mean, like with the figurines, they come as clear silver. As clear silver finish, and you paint them as you wish. That's one of the things of having figurines. Or you find someone who's good at painting, you pay them some cash to do it for you.
Yeah, it's exciting.
And so it's a hell of a thing. I mean, the most expensive thing you'll spend money on in role playing is dice, because dice are like rabbits.
Do you want a dice?
Never have, I want several
dice.
Yes, because you've got a 6-sided dice that everybody knows. Mm. You also have 4-sided dice, 8-sided dice, 12. Two sets of 10-sided dice, a set of 10-sided dice, because one's a 10 and one's the 0. So that marks percentages. And you've got the 20-sided dice, which is the most well-known one because it's
how big is
Dungeons and Dragons.
So it's a golf ball.
Yeah, I'd say about 3 centimeters.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, you can all get dice of all sizes. I've got dice that are metal. Mm. I've got dice that glow in the dark. And I've got the enormous ones, which are about, I'd say, what, 7-8 centimeters wide.
Yeah. Sure.
And I mean, that's cool if you're teaching people to role play so that when you roll the dice, it's clear to see what the dice is.
If we were talking about the couples, the geek
yes,
couples.
The couples, yes.
So, I mean, a good pickup line if you want to hook a gamer chick, would it be, you're so nice, I'll dice you twice. Yeah.
And then he was stabbed.
Yeah. It's fascinating stuff. I mean, it's a world related to subcultures that I know and understand, but to get a bit more info is wonderful. And I'm glad to see that South Africa is really kind of taking to it.
That carte blanche thing you're talking about was literally cosplay being introduced to the nation.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people outside of the geek community don't know what it is, or they've heard about it because of TV series that they watch, but they don't know exactly what it is.
I mean, apart from Icon, there's Rage and there's Geek Fest, so there's more than one event.
I've heard of Rage.
Rage has got the biggest cosplay.
That's very much electronic gaming stuff, though.
Yeah,
that's
it's more electronic gaming, but it's got the biggest, as far as I know, cosplay competition in the country at the moment.
Yes,
because I mean, the guys will show up, and there's one dude in the States. He's known as the Dancing Deadpool. He dresses as Deadpool. He looks
and he
like
dances
Deadpool.
Like...
And he dances. But, I mean, he trolls so much stuff. Like, if you watch cosplaying videos at major cons, you'll see him in the background just digging
really?
Around. And it's like another one is where it was a beautiful moment at one of the cons. There was a guy dressed as a bear, but the head of the bear that he was using looks like Pedo Bear from 4chan. And so Deadpool had this little girl dressed up as Wednesday Adams. He led her up to him, had them hold hands, and walked away. It's
so
just this weird moment where they're looking at each other.
So is at Icon, so like the one that was the past weekend,
yes.
right?
Yeah.
So is there like, is it like a normal sort of the things that they have, the expos that they have at Gallagher, where it's like a main stage and there are performances or things happening?
Yeah, there were two stages. There's the main stage and the workshop stage. So we had James Sutter, who is the creator of the Pathfinder role-playing system, co-creator, as well as an author, and he's a publisher and an editor, and he's done all this stuff. So he brought him out, and he was doing, on the workshop stage and the main stage, he was doing talks about everything from how to get your book published, how to create monsters in your role-playing system that, how to really irritate an editor, things to avoid doing. It's just really important, very interesting, cool stuff. And Linda Lee was talking about, about cosplay, her experience of cosplay. I mean, when James came out to, he's like, I don't know if there's going to be that big an audience for Pathfinder. Are you sure, people? And people were walking up to him with Pathfinder books going, please, for the love of all that is holy, please autograph this.
Mm. Wow.
And I mean, we had lots of cool stuff. I mean, I had a panel about my own podcast, and we had Arthur Goldstuck in. And if there was ever a guru of urban myths and legends, that's him.
My mother loved those books. We had all, but something, a rabbit in it.
It was the ink in the porridge, the burglar in the bin, I think it is, the burglar in the dustbin. And all these different books cover urban legends, mass hysteria, and there's some beautiful stuff in there. There's like local stuff, like stories that we've all told each other.
Yeah.
It covers Pinky Pinky, which is hilarious. I love the legend of Pinky Pinky.
Sien, ons bou nou net op na jou spookstory later, Gavin. We're just building up to it all the time. But I think Harry Bladder and Lord of the Moldy Pants.
Blarg.
And Athena the Silver Tongue, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes, Athena the Silver Tongue.
Let's quickly catch our breath. And the song I chose, it's to kind of encourage people who are in the geek environment, stand proud. Don't let people stereotype you.
Woo!
You are not what they say you are. Here's Bex, loser.
No, man.
In the dark, saving all your food, standing, running out of If you can't relate, trade the cash for the beat, for the body, for the hate. And my time is a piece of wax falling on a termite who's choking on the splinters. So
the Casper Radio Show, Casper in absentia. Ons hoop jy voel beter. Ons het twee boodskappe ingekry.
Jy.
Annika het gesê, Casper, mag jou gesondheid beter wees as Kon en Rika se verhouding. So dis 'n verwysing na Kon se storie. But which is the radio drama that that Casper, it's hilarious. Mm-hmm. It's about Dominic Kon.
Ja.
En is sy storie. But Kon se storie is also the Afrikaans word for the area at the back of the behind the church, the little office where they gather before the
gemeente.
So,
nice. I have a quick question since both of you are speakers of Afrikaans. And what does the word die epikoners mean?
Die epikoners.
Yeah.
It often refers to I'm beyond mad, like really viciously mad. Ek is nou die donder in. It's like a soft, it's a euphemism for ek is nou die moer in. It's ek het nou die epikoners. But it can also refer to illness. It's like, wat is nou weer fout met Koos? Het weer epikoners.
Because the first time I ever heard, the only time I ever heard it was Patrick Maynard talking about his life. It says he was in a production of Le Madame de Majonnaire, der Molière, in Afrikaans, die epikoners. And the crowd fell over themselves laughing. I was going, I need to find out what
word means.
When was that?
This was when It's a Funny Country was still on TV as like the mid-90s, mid to late 90s.
So you've wondered about all of this until this day?
Oh, dude, I keep random facts in my head for a long time. It's very handy when you're a comic and a GM.
Yeah.
It's like, you know this random factoid about the syphilis outbreak of 1417. And you go, yes, there you go. There's a factoid for you. What's the other message?
The other one is, and ons gaan van hierdie nou, Gavin. Hoop Casper voel gou beter. Daarom twee awesome presenters om na te luister.
Yay! Wie is dit? Is daar 'n naam by?
Daar is nie 'n naam by nie. Daar is een van die emojis wat so die gesiggie is. Laat ek dit nader. Kyk. Well, it likes as a mannetjie wat bid.
A religious man. Maybe he's the priest with the previous message.
Ek druk weer. I've done well so far today, maar so elke nou en dan vond ek dinge nog 'n bietjie uit. Ek jammer daar so. It's the way it goes.
Stuur ons nog boodskappe.
Ja, stuur nog boodskappe. Dit is alles vir Casper tot hy beter voel. Maar nou, hier is ietsie. Luister. How's it? Because this song always makes me think of Victoria. It's Cake doing Mana Mana.
Mana Mana.
We all know this. This is a type of cosplay if you dress up like Sesame Street character, a Muppet.
Atia.
I bet you.
What's my name again?
Athena.
Athena.
Yeah. So that's one that, I bet you're a bit of a Muppet, eh? Yeah. Something you might hear at a cosplay convention at some point.
Yeah, sometimes I think the words would be a tad harsher.
But it's also, this is a nice little lead-in. Vic, tell us a bit more about you. And in terms of what's coming up. And you're a comedian. You're known for impressions. You're known for kind of relationship stories. You're known for sound effects, all those kind of things. But where will we be able to witness you in all your glory? And
the next two nights are quite good. Tonight I'm at the Goliath Comedy Club, which it's out at Melrose Arch.
Yeah.
I think it's at the venue. No,
it's moved.
And
Has it moved?
It's
just three shops down.
They've moved into the venue, which is it's a cool thing. It's just, so where are you? The venue. Yes, but what's its name to us? they must hear that at least five times a day.
Yeah.
And the tonight. Tomorrow night I am emceeing at Parker's.
It's
going to be good fun. That's always a cool room. And as far as I know, Jason Goliath, ironically, is headlining.
Okay.
So yeah, it's all over the place. I dig it.
Question.
Yes.
So Vittorio, because that was my first question. And that's the obvious one. You know where I'm going with this. So answer me.
Both my parents are Italian. They immigrated here in the 70s, I think 1971. Mm. And still to this day, they speak English like they're about to step off the boat tomorrow. And it's not that bad, but they both still have the accent and I love it. And my mom's would seriously be annoyed for this, but if you would like to know what the image you have in your head of what my mom might look like, do you remember that Fatties and Monies ad where the woman takes the Indian lady, the Italian lady out of the cupboard and she does all the stuff?
Is that your mother?
That is what some people think my mother is like, and if you say that around her, you might get stabbed.
Really?
But it is kind of accurate. She's this 5-foot-tall ball of energy, and my father is chilled on a level that, you know, you'd have to shake him to make sure he's still awake.
Really?
Both my parents are Italian. I'm first generation immigrant. So,
and where did you grow up, Vittorio?
Welkom in die Vrystaat.
Welkom in Welkom.
Ik was in Warrington geboren.
Yeah.
And 2 weeks later, they moved to Welkom because, you know, you wanted something with bigger buildings and
something classy.
This is what I love, is that Welkom. Tall things in Welkom do not exist. So anything that's elevated, it has a name. So there is one hill as you drive in. It's called Kopi Alleen. Or is they neighbor in Joburg, Lone Hill. And the property price is a little bit different. And grew up there and then went to varsity in Pretoria, at Pretoria Technikon, which is now Tut. And of all the names, the only one that's better is apparently Cape Town Technikon. I think it is now, its full title is Kaput.
Yeah. I studied there, but it was still called Peninsula Technikon.
Yes.
Now it's Kaput amalgamated. We've got a WhatsApp group with the students. Mm. We still refer to it. It's called the Pentec Reunion Group.
Yeah, and why not? So yeah, Pretoria Technikon.
So do your parents speak Italian to you?
Fluent Italian.
And you, and how's your Italian?
I speak a bit of Italian. I have to learn it again.
But you understand?
Oh yeah, I understand it more than I can speak it, which was very handy. In 2004, I went on a trip to Switzerland, Italy, Sweden, a few other places, and just like traveled around for 2 or 3
weeks. Did you go see cousins?
No, actually, it was because I don't have that kind of time. Because there's this massive extended family, and it's like, it's weird. There's interpersonal politics where this family doesn't like that family, and so you can't have these people at the braai.
There's a family.
Quite literally. Something else we discovered the other day. If you take Marlon Brando's Godfather, I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse, and you take it a slight bit higher, he clings up because he's not done yet. Says, I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse. Have some brave lace.
I can send him more for you.
There's the wind up, the pitch, and it's in the stands. The crowd goes wild. But it's the other day, I figured out this thing of doing sound effects. I figured out how to do. Do you remember Inspector Gadget?
Yeah.
Do you remember Dr. Claw?
Yes.
I love that character. I finally figured out how to do his voice. Next time, Gadget. Next time.
Oh, my goodness.
I love him. Him and he had Mad Cat with him.
Yeah.
And if you can find it, there's a sketch by Robot Chicken. That did Inspector Gadget the later years, where Dr. Claw's cat, Mad Cat, is dying of feline leukemia, and he's at the funeral of Mad Cat, and he says, I would just like to say a few words. Next time, Gadget! And I was like, it's awesome! But I dig that stuff. I mean, it's always, I had that weird thing of, I had two older brothers, but by the time I was 9, both of them were out of the house. Mm. So I was essentially an only child with brothers.
Yeah.
So I entertained myself a lot of the time. This is before the internet. So we had books and stuff. Some of you might remember what books are. They're those things that come with your appliances that you look through and you throw away.
But don't you find that there's an interesting thing, is that because I also had an older brother who kind of, you know, instigated a lot of my popular culture references and, you know, things that I like now was kind of, he kind of gave to me because he was telling me about it or whatever, you know. But I still had my own favorites, my Inspector Gadget. And it's interesting to see, maybe the whole geek culture revolves around that a little bit as well, is it's a nostalgia thing. People being reminded of things that they loved, you know. And you see these revivals with my daughter now. I'm watching shows, it's just in a modern context, but it's new imaginings of My Little Pony, new imaginings of
Friendship is Magic.
Yeah, you know, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or whatever. You know, it's that nostalgia thing of popular culture. I mean, as Aki A-Team's soundtrack says, musiek hoor, I'm five again, you know.
In 1969, what? A military court sent a commando unit to jail for a crime they did not commit. They always got that same Chesterfield smoking dude to do the voiceovers.
Yeah.
love that. But do you remember?
Where's that guy now? He's dead because he really did smoke 60 Chesterfield.
In 1969.
Is probably what he sounds like now. If he's still around.
Wat is jou gunsteling TV programme en jy weet waarmee jy groot geword het? En jy weet, net kind of ten minste comic books, of jy weet, was jy Wendy the Witch and Art stuff, of Richie Rich, of, you know, what was the kind of things that, as jy nou terugdink, kan jy sê, I was happy, jy weet, as ek vir die TV gesit het, of jy weet, die goeders wat mense ontvlugting is.
Okay, so my childhood was a little bit challenging in the sense that, so when we were my parents' house, like growing up and going to school and stuff, and then it was schoolwork and stuff, even though I like failed and didn't do well at school. And then, on holidays, when you had time to watch TV, then my mom used to send us to her mother and father, to my granny. That was on the farm.
Yeah.
And that black and white, small, grey television was only put on when puts on the generator on a Saturday. For the rest of the week, the generator is off and we only use candles and the gasstoofie.
Please tell me you're catching up now with Netflix. you've got it now. Just watch everything.
One, two, three movies.
You're a big TV watcher now, Gavin.
Yeah. So now it's like...
Buy a series and...
Buy a series, 13 Reasons, a lot of...
That show's rough. That show is rough.
I'm like, really, I just now got into American Gods.
It's good.
Based on a Neil Gaiman book, but it's insane. I mean, there's ook wild, where
American Gods. So here's my thing with American Gods. I watched it because they said the scenes are, I'm going to say it, the sex scenes are hectic. There's never been like such it scenes quite, on the thing, right?
So in hulle wys baie totty.
Yeah.
That's something new in television.
And hy wipper en hy doen net wat hy wil. Like, dit is like proper. Like, I was just like, no way did I just see that. Rewind. Yeah. And then press play again.
Ja, dis 'n totterman daar.
Daar was nog een.
Kyk vir my.
Yeah. Is that character's name Richard? Because I can see his dick.
Yes. Go for my
13 Reasons. I don't know it. What's
13
it about?
Reasons why?
tell him. 13 Reasons. So basically, the plot is this high school girl, she committed suicide.
Yeah.
And she then recorded tapes. 13 tapes. 13 Reasons why she committed suicide.
Sounds heavy.
And each side of the tape deals with another person that is the reason, one of the reasons why she killed herself. And
there's a lot of like, okay, modern, going back. Modern, going back.
Yeah.
Like present time.
Yeah.
But it is like, it's insane. Like, I had to take a break from it. Like, I was proper traumed.
Yeah, I mean, Claire, my fiance, she's watched it because she teaches teenage girls.
Mm.
She teaches at a girls' school. And so she knows these girls are going to be watching this. And so you have to watch it to know, A, what they're talking about, and B, if any of them are getting triggered by this.
Yeah.
Because, which is another word I hate using. I don't know when we became bomb disposal units. That thing of it's a rough show. I mean, they don't shy away from a lot of the issues, and by the end of it you're going, oh, geez, I need to watch My Little Pony now.
Yeah,
but it's made that question, you know, but it's that other question. I mean, for so long, I can still remember my mom saying, no, you shouldn't watch too much TV. It's not good for you. And then research came in and, you know, you shouldn't let your kids watch too much TV. And I understand that. And I actually have a lot of respect for that because that's also about interpersonal contact. You know, if they just live in a world of fantasy. But it's interesting to see how so many shows these days are taking active roles in assisting people. You know, the subject matter is honest and it's real and it's about stuff that people don't necessarily talk about, but perhaps they get an avenue to talk about shit thanks to what they see on TV, and they see a character do it, or they learn a lesson. You know, they hear a psychologist on the show as a character say something that could potentially help someone. It's interesting how television has in itself become a didactic kind of thing. It's like it's a teaching mechanism as much as it is entertainment.
No, I think it's also they figured out that if you talk to people's specific interests, you engage them, and that's how you get a following.
Yeah.
And it's a great way to manipulate your
audience. But you guys that have watched, like, have you watched American Gods?
No, I haven't gotten a chance to watch it.
I just want a storyline that is
that you can follow, because it's confusing.
No, but there is a storyline, but I can't. But
it's still confusing at this point. And the thing is, they say that with this first season of American Gods, we're only going to see the first 88 pages of a 700-page book, because you know they want to stretch it out. You know, I mean, this is Hollywood.
This is Game of Thrones,
and
again.
It's written densely enough that you can get a series out of 88 pages. So that's why it's still so confusing, because we're basically just getting introduced to characters the whole time. You know,
something. I dig this sort of stuff. I look at how the series are coming out, and how this glut of geek-driven stuff has come out now.
Yeah.
And it's like they just go, let's just do... I mean, they took a massive gamble when they tried to make Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
And it worked, because nobody had ever heard of the freaking Guardians of the Galaxy apart from comic book readers. Now Valerian's coming out, and there's a few people going, oh, what are it?
Yeah.
I mean, they started simple. Marvel and DC, they did the ones that we all know. Spider-Man, Superman, Batman, the Justice League, Avengers, you know, stuff that we've heard of.
Yes.
And they have, as yet, I think there should be not just an Oscar, a solid gold Oscar given to anybody who can make the Fantastic Four and not screw it up.
Yeah.
Because they've tried twice now. And
And now, in comic book kind of terms, I mean, I'm very excited about later this year, Justice League being released.
Yeah.
Who saw Wonder Woman?
I saw it. I saw it at the premiere. It was good fun.
Axel is the tweede keer gaan kyk net for Wonder Woman. So she's most enjoyable to look at.
The only critique that I heard from from people was the relationship between her and Steve Trevor seemed a bit forced.
Yeah.
And I mean, if you watch it in the cartoon, there is a flirtation between her and Steve Trevor, but she leaves that time of history because she actually meets him during the Second World War, and it's when she's time jumping. She leaves and then meets him when he's in the old age home, has Alzheimer's, and can't really remember her. I'm going, you took that long to find him?
Yeah.
I mean, he's freaking James Bond. He's Jeff Bond, essentially. He's the American one. It just, but apart from that, I mean, he was a brilliant
Speaking of Bond.
Yeah.
But my gastroenterologist, his surname was Bond.
What?
Yeah, Dr. Bond. And then it's kind of confusing, because usually the villain is the doctor and the good guy is the Bond. Now I'm like, they're combined. But he was a Norse woman. He was kind of rude with me, but I guess that's because he works with arseholes every day.
So you went to an actual proctologist?
Not a proctologist, a gastroenterologist.
Oh, okay,
I had the shits this weekend, Vic.
Yes, yeah. I know. How did Tommy Tiernan call it? Explodey hole.
I just want to say is we've gotten the seal of approval. Baie dankie. Ach, thanks you guys. You make me proud. Julle klink of julle al jare lank uitsaai. A snot rochel in a fizzball phlegm from Cassie. So Casper de Vries has given his... But let's just hope our next guest doesn't ruin it all.
no pressure.
And it was interesting that we referred to it, but he's quite wonderful, and sometimes I think he's a woman. let's just get the little intro going for him. See, now the gongs are back. I'm just He's waiting now. Do you know that what this is? Michael Jackson.
Yeah, the theme song of masturbation.
Yeah. And with that, I just wanted something upbeat to welcome our next guest, Mr. Mojack Leoko's in
us. Hey. How are you guys doing? Are you well?
Very well indeed.
Fantastic. I walked into like a comic book conversation. I grew up on Pelezinho. Do you guys know that?
Pelezinho.
Yeah, man. You know, like that, the offcuts of the Sunday Times, like those kind of comic books. Super Strikers.
Super Strikers.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be making a movie of that anytime soon.
There's you a TV what? Show. There's an animated TV show.
That's as far as it's going
to go.
Yeah.
Super Strikers.
How are you guys doing? You well?
Good, man.
We are well. I'm happy to meet you.
Nice to meet you, Zoom.
Gavin and Mojack, yes. You know Victoria probably from the comedy scene. lovely to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
Mojack Leoko. I honestly think he's one of the funniest guys around the circuit. Every single time I see you perform, I just laugh more and more and more.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
How are things? How's business?
I've bitten off more than I can chew. I'm really feeling it now. I go to Grahamstown on Tuesday.
Yes.
And I'm dreading it. So it's going to be an interesting week and a half.
On the 20th of June, you had your first show of rewriting history.
Yeah, I did my preview and it was all over the place. It was fun to do, but it was like, I think I need to call a director. You know, when you have a realization while you're on stage.
You're leaving when?
On Tuesday. So I'll have a good 3 days with the director.
As long as you didn't leave it to the last minute.
No, I'm never a last minute kind of guy. It's not
5 o'clock yet. It's Friday, but yeah. You've got a few hours.
I'm freaking out, man.
You got great reviews last year at the festival. What was your show last year?
It was How Did I Get You? I think the great reviews were for the poster. And
why?
Mark Lottering said the cleanest poster at the fest.
You should put that on the new poster.
Yeah. Like that's the review.
The cleanest poster at the fest.
It was good. Like it was. He didn't say clean. He said it was nice. But I think it was the cleanest poster.
Oh, okay.
Because I have a thing about like aesthetic.
Yeah.
And so
I was aesthetically clean, not in you raping a gimp or something.
No, that
not
was
that
one
kind
time.
Of clean or dirty.
That was one time in high school. No, so
I've uploaded the file if anybody wants to.
Oh, damn it, I knew this would happen. So the show was cool. It's just Grahamstown, you get weird audiences. So you'll have like, I had groups of 16-year-olds and then academics in the same room. And it's like, you guys have nothing in common. Like, you guys like Snapchat. You guys like going to botanical gardens. Like, you don't live in the same world. So it was kind of playing them against each other, which was fun.
The one uses filters, the other one is natural. Everything that you want to filter is there, you know.
Yeah, well, their
filters. One smokes a filter.
They don't have filters by choice. It's like my liver doesn't work anymore. I need something else to purify what's going on. No?
Look, but at the hand of your great poster last year.
A dialysis joke, folks.
Thank you.
If you don't get to speak to a director before then, at least you have people in the room based on your successes last year. And then if the show's cuck, it doesn't matter because you've already got their money. You know
well,
I mean?
Yeah, but I'm there for like another 8 days. Like, I'll be aware of it. You know what I mean? Like, that's the big thing. I mean, a lot of us, I think we care about our material. Like, we're not delusional to walk off and be like, whoa, I killed that show. But people were throwing their beer at you. Like, we know if we've had a good show or not. And I think the day, like, you become happy with doing okay, that's always like a tricky place to be. As far as I'm concerned, it's different for everybody. Yeah. I don't know.
No, it's exciting stuff. How many shows are you doing at the festival? Are you doing lineup shows as well, or are you just...
I might do a couple of lineup shows. So as it stands, I've got 24 shows, 8 of Rewriting History, 8 of How Did I Get You, 8 of Apologies in Advance. We'll be doing Rob Van Vuren's big show and then a couple of other shows. I think I bit off more than I can chew. Like having a meltdown.
And then, of course, see, you don't want to skimp on the poster this year, so you'll be putting up posters off the day as well, so that for 2 years running, you've got the cleanest poster at Grahamstown.
Well, I didn't put up posters last year, because Forrest will tell you that. After day one, I kind of was like, you know what? I'm going to watch Game of Thrones for the rest of the festival. So he kind of hated me. I did help in the beginning, and then I got someone to put them up. What I found is that you become really exhausted, and then you have a bad show because you're tired. So if you can get someone to do it for you, I think it works. It just depends. I'm not good with people also. Like, I'm not great with strangers. I don't know. You look like a very personable person, sir. You look like
he's in PR. He has to.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I could tell you've got like that smile of like you can just disarm whoever. Like,
no, this is a face of confusion. So, like, so many shows.
Yes.
In one in one festival.
Yes.
So what? It's like 6 o'clock and then 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, whatever.
Yeah, so I'll do a 4 o'clock, I'll do an 8 o'clock, then I'll do a 10 o'clock.
So give me an idea.
So you're working. I mean, it's not like you're going on holiday. That's why you want to go sit in your room and just relax between shows. I mean, that's a lot of hard work.
By relax, do you mean have a wank? Because that's
that is on the great cards. As a festival wank.
It's very relaxing up until you hear Mojack. It's time to go.
That's why you shouldn't do it backstage.
Do you need more water, sir?
Yeah, water in inverted commas.
Have some moist towelette.
So it's
her name's not Towelette.
Yeah, it's not Towelette. That's what website are you on?
Is there good Wi-Fi in Grahamstown at least?
So last year in Grahamstown they had Wi-Fi but no water. Like I say it in my stand-up, it really happened. And then what happened the next day, they fixed like the electrical line but swapped the earth and the live wire. So we would get electrocuted every time we opened the taps. So like the first 3 days of Fest were like a disaster.
Yeah.
Like it was really rough, and Deep Fried Man and I were in like a cottage. It's a tough festival. I'm not sure why I do it or other comics do it.
I haven't done it in years, and the last time I did was with the plays. I think it may have been,
I think is when I was there last.
May have been prior to really starting to do stand-up as well. And I've always been scared. Maybe, I mean, because I kind of do a lot of Afrikaans stuff. So I do. I know the festival kind of vibe because of the Afrikaans festivals. But Grahamstown, it's icy cold.
Yes.
It's a tough one. And you're competing against so many other shows as well. So I suppose you go with the nervousness. But it's also, in terms of the press you garner from a good run, worth its money in gold in terms of being able to do a show when you come back to Gauteng. So you kind of stomach the discomfort of the week, but it has an end goal. I mean, you'll be doing the show when you get back here as well.
Yeah, that's the idea. I mean, I found with me, if I don't have a new show that I'm lining up, I don't write the same way.
I don't write.
I'm just like, I'll do crowd work till I die, which is great when you have a nice crowd. And sometimes it can go awry. I did a show last night, which was tough, at a venue I will not disclose.
But
this is uncensored radio.
Vicky, heard of this place.
Funny enough, I think we're working together tonight.
Yeah, are we doing tonight?
Oh,
yes.
That's why you can't say the names, because you have to go back.
Yeah, I still have two more nights left there. Yeah. And,
why was it bad?
You know what? I recently struggled to play audiences that are like one type of person in different versions. I don't know if that makes sense. Like, yesterday was a lot of, like, we're from Danefern, Four Ways, and Bryanston. Anything else is
now
not a part.
You just indicated what venue it is.
No. This was...
Ignore the man behind the curtain.
No, I was... I was in London last night. But
she's a nice girl. And
so it's very much the same kind of person. So it's like there's one narrative, you know. So there's nothing to bounce off.
Yeah.
And if that group of people, not even at that venue, just in general, if that group of people doesn't exist outside of their world, it's like the stories you tell. I did Rustenburg a couple of months ago, and they did not want to hear what I was saying. Like the dudes were just like, please. The one guy was shouting like, this is not White House. I was like, you know what? I can't even be angry at you, but I'm going to finish my set anyway and like walk out here. And so some rooms you find like a certain type of audience, and then it is what it is for that night, you know?
Yeah.
It happens.
I mean, it's that thing of some audiences, some choose ignorance and other people didn't know there's another option.
Yeah, and they were talking. They were talking during people's sets.
They're fun, aren't they?
I found that really weird, you know, like, it felt like I was like I was in a battle with them.
Yeah, and it's always when someone is talking during a set and you know, and they're in their own world, that is exactly where they are. They're in their own conversation. So you can kind of rip them off and, you know, treat them. I mean, a heckler who shouts at you, you can at least kind of directly make contact with them, put down and say, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
But if someone's having their own conversation, you can scream until you're blue in the face. They're going to continue having that conversation.
But I will say this about last night. They felt like a trade union, because an injury to one was an injury to all. So if I made fun of someone they were all just like, oh, he's one of us. So that was a bit like weird. And but look, I've like you've got that gig in is it Centurion?
Yeah, the Ridgeback.
Yeah, so that gig, they mad rowdy. But if you bring the the fire there with you.
Absolutely.
Do you know what I mean?
And it's become a wonderful, and this relates to the whole geek thing as well that we've been talking about. It's this room in Centurion. There's a Ridgeback. There's a sports bar. There's for Owens of Friday on the, you know, flip collars, eh? And it's because it's like close to the cricket stadium. But and it's like on a Friday, it's the Oaks, they take their shirts off before they blixem each other, kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Because the shirt's expensive, man. It's a Lacoste.
So it's either that or you got the kind of two-tone, you know. So, I mean, it's more Afrikaans, but it is actually quite diverse, surprisingly so. But it's young people who are, you know, young and full of cum kind of vibes.
Sure.
So it's aggressive, and it's people to go drink. And then we started this comedy night there.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, the first three times, it was rough because they're not really there for the comedy. It just happens to be there. And then progressively, like you say, the acts that we book there are acts that we go, bring fire, bring energy. Yeah. They bring it. Now what's happened is we've got regulars coming in, and now all of a sudden, and it's comic book fans and, you know, it's kind of comedy fans that have invaded the space that's usually a complete different type of alpha male.
I remember that Brandy and Coke specials left, right, and center. I was never ready. I was like, this is about to go down.
But I've got a question for all three of you, and this might be a controversial question, but...
Excellent.
So sometimes, like, and this is me like sitting in the audience.
Sure.
So do you sometimes realize that, okay, maybe that was like a shitty story that I told, and maybe that's why the audience is not reactive and participatory?
Sense that that story was over the line.
Not necessarily over the line, just like lame. Like
I mean, it happens. Sometimes you try out new material, it doesn't work. Okay, you move on to the next thing.
Yeah.
But it is the most deafening silence in the world. If something really dies, it's like that silence echoes. And the rest of the room, they don't notice it. But for you, it's like you just hear 3 seconds of
it's the
like
dissonance. White noise. It's the dissonance of your own demise, essentially.
I couldn't sleep last night. I played Shadow of Mordor till 4 a.m, like killing orcs, like to have my revenge.
Oh, yeah.
It was like last night was really dark.
Now, you prick.
It was like, and I get what Vic is saying. When it's new material, it makes sense. But I'm like, these are bulletproof bits.
But that's just an audience that doesn't give a shit. That's like the old anti-heckle line of, don't you hate it when you come to a nice place to have a few drinks and talk shit and some idiot builds a comedy club around you? That's literally what it is. Like, they're completely oblivious to anything but their own world.
Yeah. But I would like to say this about your gig, Hannes. That group is still diverse. Like, it's very diverse. There were people who like are like artisans, people who are students, people who are professionals. Yeah. You know, it's like, cool, it's one catchment area. But they're all into different shit.
Yes, that's true as well.
Before the BCCSA comes first.
Yeah, I know.
But you know what I mean? So, like, you can bounce off. They all have different experiences and worldviews. So if you're like, okay, students, I got something for you.
Yeah, and you can hook into a group and then win the others, you know, as you go along, kind of thing. You know, because there's one group you can start and then systematically get the rest of the room.
Exactly, you know. So, I mean, like, when we played the Orati, but like I said, when you came, they were like, hey, we're enjoying this.
Last week in Cape Town, I went to a funeral and we had the cake and tea, whatever, like typically colored, and then the biryani. And then afterwards, we had after tears, right? So we went to the guy, the uncle who died. We went to his apartment, right?
Yeah. Mm.
And there was this guy. He's actually like a driver of some sort, but in transport, but he's actually a comedian. Like, he's a budding comedian. And he was telling jokes, and I was just like, all these ladies were sitting, and it was just, oh, he's amazing, and laughing, and I was just sitting. And then they got angry at me for not laughing at his jokes. Then he apologized to me because he told me like 5 jokes and I didn't laugh. And then I said to, and then he's like, okay, Gavin, maybe my jokes are cut. So I said, no, my levels are just like slightly higher.
There we go.
Yeah, you know.
It's what you walked into last night was literally like a Facebook echo chamber. Everybody has one particular opinion and you're the idiot walking in going, folks, can we all just get along?
Yeah,
you don't want to do that.
But also, it's also a dangerous like thing to blame audiences. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to get into that.
Sometimes it is their freaking fault. Let's be honest.
I just don't want to get into that habit of just like walking off and being like, oh, that audience was terrible. It's like, no, maybe you were shit.
I actually read a thing. It's a great book if you're into comedy and want to find out more about the minds of comedians. It's a Judd Apatow book called Sick in the Head. And Judd Apatow's story is long before he started making movies. And he shared a house with Adam Sandler at the start of both their careers and everything. But even when he was at high school, for the school's radio station, he ran like a little show where he went and at the age of 13 interviewed comedians.
Sure.
And then this has been something that throughout his life has been a bit of a passion.
Sure.
So now that he's in the industry where he's well known and well respected, he's just got better access to people. But he used to kind of stalk Jerry Seinfeld, you know, and do interviews with him, pretending that he's an actual journalist. Meanwhile, it's a 13-year-old. And it's fascinating. I saw in him in discussion with Chris Rock, saying that exact same thing is, you don't blame the audience. If you know, you can if you want to, but then you're demeaning your own experience of the night. As if you're going, it was just them.
You're also like you're not taking responsibility, because like I still have a job at the end of the day. You know what I mean? Like I
what kind of job?
One way to entertain.
Yeah, where I work for 15 minutes and then like go online.
It's a hard knock life.
Oh, it's so rough if you knew the pressures.
I mean, where do I stand on the stage? You know. Has the microphone been switched on for me?
You know what I mean? Am I wearing cotton or linen tonight? No. you don't want to get to the point where you're making excuses. You've been employed to provide a service at the end of the day. You got to provide that service. Yeah. If you're having a bad day, you got to put that aside. It's like, I'm here to work. I can't. People are in a mine somewhere. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, doing crazy work. I can't be upset that somebody didn't laugh. Yeah. You know what I mean? Sometimes you just got to put it into perspective and be like, yo, you need to calm the hell down.
It's that thing where comedians have their own language. You know, like if you do well, you kill. If you do poorly, you die. And then people will throw, you know, if it's a rough night, you know, and the MC walks off stage and you're like, oh, how are they? And then they'll say, oh no, it's another night in the trenches. And I'm like, this like, isn't fucking actual warfare. There aren't bullets flying around. No one's going to fucking have an arm amputated if there's, you know. So
you're
we do sometimes
trench
complain
foot.
We complain and moan about the night, but then it's really not, you know.
You know what I mean? Like I went after the gig, I went and played Xbox.
No, but that's the thing. I mean, the number of times where, I mean, you and I both, all three of us have had this thing where you walk into a venue and you know that you are batting lowest common denominator material. That is what they're going to laugh at. So break out the dick jokes and have a chuckle. They're not going to laugh at your material about New Zealand embroidery patterns.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just happy that I'm surrounded by gentlemen who can man up to a situation. Like, man up.
Fantastic.
Ek weet amper nou nie wat om te doen nie, want Gavin just made a suggestion for what we wanted to do, and I just wanted to go.
Okay, no, go ahead. Go ahead.
But quickly just give us an indication. A Rewriting History is the name of the show. What's the premise of the show?
The premise is like, so my dad was a school teacher for most of his life. His last gig in public service was at the Department of Education. And when we were kids, like, he'd give us books. You know, like, we wanted big parties at 16. And he'd give us, like, books on soap liking. I'm like, what are we going to do with this? Like, nobody wants to make out with a dude.
I love your dad.
I mean, I love him now. But back then, I was like, what are you doing? And the older I got, I was interested in the way people are. And why that is, like, we're like an amalgamation of a bunch of things that have happened for hundreds and hundreds of years. Socially, when it comes to religion, when it comes to our history, and even our interactions are governed by what's happened. And what I thought would be cool ideas is kind of taking actual things and then butchering them to make them contemporary. Yeah. Like, I was telling Vic about the story of like Moses leaving, crossing the Red Sea, and then the burning bush was speaking to him, and people say he was crazy, but it was just him burning impepo, and then which is a traditional, you know, herb to talk to the ancestors, and then the Lord was like, hey, come back, and he was like, no, it's crazy out there. He's like, no, but you forgot your charger. So Moses went back to Egypt because it's hard to find a Huawei charger. So it's just like it's factual things, but then at the end of them, interpreting them and going, what do we take from the story?
Yes.
You know what I mean? Mm. So if it's religion or it's history, at the end of the day, it's about like trying to see what that reveals about us and who we are today.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the idea.
Fascinating stuff. Yeah. And history is kind of told from whoever wants to tell it.
Sure.
Point of perspective.
Exactly,
you know? We're seeing it so much. And it's interesting how people today, especially thanks to our access and our immediacy of access to news, you choose your own history because you choose what you read and how much of it.
Exactly. You decide what you want to consume. Your Twitter feed is not representative of anything but your interests.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. I want to follow CNN. I want to follow bigbooty.com. And
you as well.
Yeah, yeah. Brothers in arms.
Yeah.
Pornhub.com.
Bless you and you know all what I mean? Who sail with you. Or you want to taking follow, up the armed struggle.
Like 10 years today.
10 years today? It's the anniversary of...
Hey. We should have a really? Is that a real fact?
I don't know, but... No. But not today, but like two weeks ago, yes. There were like people posting on social media saying Pornhub is 10 years old.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
10 years old. Well done.
Let's give them a clap of the hand as if they don't get enough. But Gavin, sorry, but you do have some information of history, yes. You know, things that happened today in the world.
And this is for all of you. I want to test your... as a little bit of a quiz, I want to test your general knowledge.
Oh boy.
I hope you didn't. You've sat here the longest. Mm-hmm. So I hope you didn't like peek on my notes.
No. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So today in history, something huge happened in the UK.
The UK. Margaret Thatcher.
This is what's elected.
No.
23 June.
David Beckham scored from halfway.
Let me give you a clue. Score or the outcome was 51.9% to 48.1%. Yes,
It was a year ago today. And they still haven't accomplished it.
They still have to deal with the fallout from that.
Brexit to me sounds like the cuck you have after breakfast.
Yeah, but not only that, but it's like a supplement you can take to ensure that you have. You know, it's like a brand, kind of a
high fiber supplement.
A high fiber supplement to ensure that Brexit. You know, you're regular. Yeah.
Brexit, when you want to damage the plumbing.
What was that? Black Forest tea?
That stuff is evil.
But like any advert with people that are suffering from constipation, you know, that was like ballet dancers. You know what I mean?
It's like, Senecott.
Feeling it. Yeah, yeah.
A little bit like you and I this week, honest.
Yeah.
I think any of those ads, if they're going to have stuff about getting rid relief and feeling less bloated, they should play the 1812 overture over it. Boom.
Okay, next one.
Yes.
The Hannes and I mentioned the name earlier on. The wife of a what do you mean the like struggle hero?
Stalwarts,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That person died under very weird circumstances.
Oh, wow.
This was in 1997, today, in New York.
Samora Michelle? No.
Samora Michelle's plane crashed, apparently, caused by the
apartheid. In New York.
South African stalwart.
Someone died.
In New York.
In 1997. Let me give you a clue. Are you ready?
Mm. Mm-hmm.
This person died, right? Very famous person.
Tokyo says Swale's marriage.
No, this person died, and so the circumstances were she died in a fire that was caused by her grandson. Who am I talking about?
Wow.
Malcolm X's wife, Betty X.
Wow!
Today in 1997,
Malcolm X is hardcore. Anyone ever read Malcolm X as told by Alex Haley?
No, I saw the movie with Denzel Washington.
Spike Lee.
The most recent Malcolm X thing I found was Jesse Ventura's book, American Conspiracies, where he deconstructs what happened and the documents that were declassified.
Jesse Ventura, the former professional wrestler.
Yes, and more importantly, Blaine in the movie Predator.
Oh.
Also Ace Ventura's cousin.
Yeah.
Your choice, yes. Yeah.
Okay. And then my last one. You are probably going to get this.
Okay.
So today, 23rd of June, in 1989, one of the biggest American superhero films debuted on the big screen.
Superman.
What am I talking?
Yeah.
1989. I did see your paper when you
Batman.
Said that. Yes, you're right. Batman. But I would have,
Batman. The Dark Knight.
Was it not with Keaton? No.
Michael Keaton with... Jack Nicholson as the Joker.
It was bad, huh?
Kim Basinger.
Yeah,
you know what? No, she was a Vicky Vale. She was the journalist's love interest. Yeah, yeah. You know what? It aged badly.
Yes.
But then it was the biggest. It was the biggest movie of the year, probably.
Still one of the best
in terms of box office.
Do you remember? Do you remember the one with Schwarzenegger and Jim Carrey?
Oh, the Joel Schumacher.
Batman Forever. We don't talk about
see
that one.
The first two Batmans, Batman and Batman. Returns was Tim Burton, you know.
Oh, did he direct
those? Yeah.
Oh, that's
and then
crazy.
The second one was like with Michelle Pfeiffer as Catwoman.
Yes.
And it got really dark. And then I read about it the other day as well. Yeah. And then the studio were kind of going, well, it's difficult to sell merchandise, you know, if the penguin is kind of constantly, you know, spitting up this black liquid, you know. you can't really put that in a Happy Meal, you know what I mean? And that's when Joel Schumacher took over and
Joel Schumacher has actually officially apologized for that film. Says, I'm terribly sorry for what I did to what is essentially the most amazing comic book character. Says very nice.
You know what I've realized? Sorry, it's just to jump in on this superhero thing. DC make great TV, comic stuff,
and animated stuff.
And I think Marvel make better movies.
I think Marvel's had a longer turn doing it. Mm. They've managed to iron out all the kinks. I mean, they still have to apologize for Iron Man 3, but anyway.
Yeah. But that's where we're, I mean, as a hardcore DC fan, I'm DC for life.
This man has tattoos of the Flash and Green Lantern logos on him.
So the Justice League, we were talking about it a bit earlier. I'm really looking forward to it because Wonder Woman was, I thought, fantastic. I really, really enjoyed it.
Okay.
So I think DC is challenging Marvel.
Sure.
But whether the audiences will agree.
Yeah.
That's always a fun dance.
Mm. It's interesting because DC characters, well, some of them don't have like crazy superpowers.
Yeah, a lot of them are just everyman.
Yeah, with like crazy gadgets. Woman, which is also interesting.
If you go and make an analysis between the differences between Marvel and DC, there's definitely a different type of a morality tale that they... And as a comic company, like DC's got its kind of recipe a little bit and Marvel's got its own. And Marvel, certainly with Stan Lee, he wanted to appeal to the disenfranchised teenager with Spider-Man, for example.
Yeah,
so I've always said Marvel has got that kind of thing. It's a, you know... a lot of heart and emotion almost involved in the heroes' lives, whereas DC quite often would have more kind of a political kind of play on things, you know.
Yeah.
So that, you know, the superheroes themselves become allegories for what's happening in our world. So
Gotham is like a character in its own.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
You know.
That was my brother when he studied graphic design. He said there are old parts of Johannesburg that if you had a look at the architecture, like in the early morning when the light filters through the buildings, it looks like Gotham City, where it's got that old Art Deco style of design, and Gotham's beautiful. It's such a stunningly drawn, beautifully made world.
But it's time for me. It's a regular insert. Once again, it relates a little bit to history as well. It is now time for. Let me just find it.
Stoofpoepies van J.H.
Ja, stoofpoepies word natuurlijk in je gebring door Sandwich Baron. As jy bent, is dit nie vir jou nie, hoor. Sandwich Baron, hulle maak blerrie lekker broekies. En dan spring een bykie weg, maar hierso is ons stoofpoepie vir vandag. Is natuurlijk niemand anders as Aha. Die lieflike Aha. This is one, I'm dedicating this one to my gastroenterologist.
Mr. Bond.
Mr. Bond.
Hmm?
Check, this is a classic as well.
Oh no, it doesn't want to play it.
Nice.
Now I'll have to do my crying in the rain. I want you to play the Living Daylights.
Oh, wow. That's Duran Duran.
So, Aha is a Norwegian band. Norway's not known for their musical prowess, but Aha were huge in the 80s. They've sold 100 million records. That's impressive.
That's pretty damn impressive.
So that's our stuff could be for today's Aha. It was Stay on These Roads, which is from their debut album, one of their biggest hits. They only had two hits in the States. This is the other one. This is that funky video.
Take On Me. Yeah. Very good song. I remember when this video first came out, it was mind blowing. Yeah. It was like, whoa,
it won more MTV Video Music Awards than Thriller.
Impressive.
Wow. I've heard this somewhere.
The only other thing Aha really reminds me of not having girlfriends. Like you stand at five, your first garage party, and all the other boys get to close dance with. And I was that kid. It's a geek thing, I suppose. But my date was the chips bowl.
You and me both. Who's your plus one? Buffet.
Yeah.
My girlfriend's a teacher, and they had to write essays at the school. And this one kid was like, we were dancing so passionately, our bodies were so close together, there wasn't even enough room for Jesus. These are like 16-year-old kids.
The
passion.
The glory, the prematurity.
Yeah. Gavin, are you going to entertain us with a quick ghost story? Because time really flew. I'm a bit surprised at how quickly.
Like, I had so much fun with you guys.
Thank you.
Unknown names to me yesterday when Anna's said to me like who the guests are.
And but now
I have been pleasantly like surprised and entertained. Yay. Like, oh my God.
Yeah. I had the same discussion with an escort once.
The Poloni.
Talking about escorts. So
yes, the Poloni.
So what happens is it's not a quiz. I'm gonna tell you who it is, yes. Right? So this person died. This person thank you, Anders, for that sound effect. This person died like I think 3 or 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. A very public death in South Africa, but gruesome, right?
It's not Russian
he
stuff.
He is the
something.
Owner of Teasers.
Lolly Jackson.
Lolly
Jackson. I met Lolly Jackson once.
Yeah.
But carry on.
So now last week, work just took me to Teasers, right? Mm-hmm. I was just there.
Work,
I had to go and pick up a document, right?
Course,
this is a true
business
story.
Lunch.
I had to go and pick up. And then I walked through Teasers, and then they said to me, one of the people there said to me, Lolly's still here. He's not dead. Mm. So what happens is, so the dancers would dance and things like that, right?
He's still not paying.
At 2 o'clock, on a Friday or Saturday or Sunday morning, they find Lolly still counting money in his office.
Because he made enough that it would take more than a lifetime to count, probably.
I kid you not. The bizarre part is still coming. So Lolly's office is still there, and it still says, so now it's owned by a new guy, right? But it still says Lolly's office, no entry, with like a circle and that Roy Strepisudir, ne? And but the new owner, like he you know, it's his office, but they still kept that sign, this is Lolly's office. So what happens is, so the dancers would like, you know, dance and do their thing and whatever, and when they would walk past his office, they would hear the money machine, because he had like a, you give it die machine, but let's look out very bank, thank you for the side effects. That they can hear that in the morning, at like 2 o'clock or whatever. It's absolutely freaky. And here comes the most freakiest part. And that is that, so Lolly's ex-wife, I think Demi or someone, they had a birthday party for her one day at Teasers. This is a true story. And while they were cheering and like having like a bit of champers and things like that for Demi, celebrating her birthday, hello, cooch-a-cooch and kisses and whatever, they heard like a pop sound of a champagne bottle in Lolly's office.
Oh, wow.
true story. Oh my god.
I feel like going tonight just to see.
Do it.
For research purposes only.
Don't go and play games until 4 o'clock in the morning. Go to teasers.
Yeah, play until 3 and then go to teasers for an hour. Because by then the girls are tired and you can do.
How's that?
Yeah.
Oof, that's fantastic. That is. Dude, I want to get you on my podcast.
So Vic, tell us, you've got a new podcast starting soon
in July.
It's
called Urbane Myths.
Yeah.
And essentially it's weird and wonderful oddball stories from around the country and also around the world.
Wow.
And I want that story and any other. I mean, you've been involved in journalism, so you've probably stumbled
for
across
years.
The oddball story that has stumbled across your desk.
Deal.
And it's yes, are shaking hands. And those ghost stories and oddball stories are kind of interesting in urban myths. There used to be a ghost tour in Pretoria that now closed its.
Oh, wow.
Did it close?
They did their last tour recently. So that's a bit sad. But so urbane myths.
Yeah, instead of urban myths, it's urbane myths.
How will we get hold of it once it's...
A very good app that I use is called Podcast Addict. Once it's up and running, just search for urbane myths and it'll search everything from iTunes to everywhere else, source them together and you'll be able to get them through. I've got 12 episodes recorded already, so once we start and we launch, then we'll start releasing the episodes. And I mean, I'm starting with, I believe it's the Vela incident, which is where we did or possibly didn't test atomic weapons off the coast of South Africa. And I love it. The Americans claim it never happened. The Israelis, on the other hand, probably are very quiet about it because there's a high possibility they gave us the housings for the weapons. Wow. It's all this fun stuff. None of it's ever been proven. It's great.
Sounds very
oddball
interesting.
Stuff like that.
Thanks for being here.
Dude,
Vic,
no worries,
Mojack, and then of course you're at Grahamstown with
Grahamstown from the 29th to the 8th, taking 2 one-man shows, How Did I Get You, Rewriting History. I'm in an ensemble show with Prince, and we're going to have guests every night, so I think we've got a whole roster lined up. So if people in Grahamstown, please come check us out, please come support. To all the audiences, we love all of you, even the bad ones.
I'm at Carnival City tonight. You guys are working this weekend as well, so people should check your Facebook profiles.
Parkers. I'm at the Goliath Club tonight. Yes. Tomorrow night I'm with you at Parkers.
Yeah. I'll just be at my house.
Yeah, Gavin, yeah. Thank
come
you.
Through,
thank you for
Gavin.
Joining.
Be our guest.
I think we were a great team today.
Yay!
So I think it's time to say Kasi, ons hoop jy voel gou beter.
Ja, Kasi.
And that was the Casper Radio Show for today. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye. Goodbye, stay well, bye-bye, body got wrecked. Goodbye, stay well, tot ziens, bye-bye. CliffCentral.com.